If you're looking to buy a house in Vancouver's real estate market today, this podcast is made for you. There is so many pitfalls, so many things to avoid, and that's exactly what we're going to get into in today's podcast. But not only am I going to give you really specific local advice, I'm going to give you updated advice, things that I'm seeing in the marketplace right now that I find so many videos are missing. So much of the advice that people are giving you is outdated.
This podcast is the most up-to-date and accurate information you'll hear anywhere.
And it's based on my nearly 20 years in this business, helping hundreds of people move to Vancouver and buy a home. So if you're looking to buy a house in Vancouver right now, stay tuned because I'm going to tell you the types of houses you're going to want to avoid in today's real estate market.
And at the very end of this podcast, you're going to want to stay tuned for my most recent advice that I'm giving my clients about the opportunities I see in this market and the type of house you should be buying.
Let's get into all of it right now. Sebastian Albrecht with Living in Vancouver BC team, and welcome back to the channel. This channel is all about moving to and living in Vancouver. And if you're interested in that, well, you're in the right place and thank you for joining me. In today's video, I'm going to talk to you about the types of houses you want to avoid buying in the real estate market right now. And without further ado, let's get into what I think might be the most important thing that you should be avoiding in today's real estate market. Before we dig too much deeper here, I want to get on the same page as you. And number one, I just want to make sure that we understand we're talking about vast generalizations. Everybody's situation is going to be different. In general, these are all situations that I would advise people to avoid, but there may be circumstances that buying a property like one of the ones I'm suggesting you should avoid makes sense for your particular circumstances. And that's something that we can only figure out when we're discussing it one-on-one. But for now, let's get into the number one thing that I think you should be avoiding. And this is a big one. This is something that has changed in recent years considerably, something we weren't thinking about until very, very recently. And here's the biggest thing I think you should be avoiding in today's marketplace. So not that long ago, if you were a house in the middle of a block and you were perhaps buying a nicer house or a newer house and you were surrounded by older houses on either side, that might not be viewed as a negative. That would actually be potentially viewed as a positive because down the road in a couple of years, those old houses would get sold and somebody would buy them and then replace them with brand new luxurious houses. And those new houses would help bring up the value of the house that you now own. And we're not really thinking about how it can play out over the years. And what I'm seeing, I think now, is that that particular situation isn't necessarily the best case scenario, because what has now changed is that we're allowed to build much higher density. There is now multiplex zoning allowed in Vancouver, which allows for going from a 60 to 70% coverage of the lot to a full 100% coverage of the lot. So on a typical 4,000 square foot lot, you're now able to build a 4,000 square foot home, but it's not just one home. It can be anywhere from 3 up to 6 homes or 8 homes, depending on how big that lot is. And so that is similar to what has been built today. We do in Vancouver, when a new house is being built, we often see them being built as 3 separate living quarters. You have the main living quarters in the main house for the family that owns it. Then you have a basement suite, and then you often also have a laneway suite. But these 3 separate living areas are on one title. You cannot sell them separately. What has changed is that we're now allowing people to build at a higher density and able to split off, stratify those separate units. So you can build 3 units on one lot, which has a much higher density. And then because of this higher density, there's a greater lot coverage. These homes are being built higher. They're being built further out into the back of the lot, into the front of the lot, to the side of the lot. And as a result, if you are the house between 2 older homes, you are one day going to be surrounded more than likely by these monstrosities on either side of you. And those monstrosities are going to impact the sense of community that you have, how beautiful your home might feel and how private your home might feel. And that is something that I'm starting to notice around Vancouver as more and more of these multiplexes are starting to get built. And granted, we're still in the early stages of this, but I see this as being a bigger and bigger issue in coming years. And so what I would be looking for, rather than a nice house surrounded by older homes, I'd perhaps be looking for an older home or a decent home or even a newer home that's surrounded by, in the middle of the block, newer homes, or perhaps a corner lot where you only have the risk of a multiplex being built on one side and not on both sides. So those are things I think people should be thinking about. And perhaps that is something that I would advise people to avoid. Another big thing to avoid in the market is a leasehold property. And I did talk about this in a recent podcast. I did
posted talking about the types of condos you want to avoid in Vancouver. And the same is true for houses. I get a lot of people that reach out to me and they're like, Sebastian, I saw this amazing deal in this amazing community and tell me more about it. Well, the reason that it's about 20, 25% of the cost of a house in the neighboring community is because it's a leasehold. And that means that you don't own the land. And so this is a situation, it's kind of, to be honest, why buy a house if you don't own the land? Really, that's the biggest asset. And to me, that's the biggest advantage you have. The biggest asset, the biggest value in Vancouver's real estate market is the land. And my advice over and over again is to buy as much land as you possibly can. And so obviously, I would be advising you, if there's no land that comes with your house, why even buy it? Yes, you do get the ability to move into a really nice area, but there's so much that is out of your control. And all you do is own the right to live in that property for possibly just a year. There are some of these leaseholds that are non-prepaid, and you have to pay somewhere in the range of $20,000 every year for the benefit of living in that situation. And that house might cost you $1 million. It might cost you up to $2 million. This is very pricey real estate in this community. A house that's on freehold property in that community, sort of in a similar condition on a similar size lot, might cost you from $5 million to $10 million. So like I said, this is about 20%, 25% of the cost, like 1/5 to 1/4 of the cost of a freehold property in that neighborhood. But it's not really an asset. It doesn't appreciate in the same way as every other type of property. It's incredibly difficult to finance as well. And so it becomes this albatross around your neck that you enjoy living in for a period of time. It costs you lots of money. And then it becomes really problematic for you to sell down the road. And it doesn't appreciate in the same way that freehold property would. And in that $1.5 to $2 million range, you can buy a house in other parts of Vancouver, and of course, other parts of Metro Vancouver, that would be very attractive family neighborhoods. You do not need to be buying leasehold property in Vancouver, and I would strongly advise against purchasing a property like that. And so if you are thinking of moving to Metro Vancouver and purchasing a house or any other kind of property, I am a real estate agent that has helped hundreds of people do exactly what you're trying to do right now. And that's move to Vancouver, settle into the right neighborhood, and settle into the right kind of home. I can help you and your family whenever you're ready. There's three different ways you can reach me. One, you can call or text at 604-831-4837. You could email me at sebastian@albrechtgroup.ca, or you can book a conversation with me directly at calendly.com/albrechtgroup. Reach out anytime. Whenever you're ready, I'm going to be here ready to assist. And I wanted to mention one other thing, and that's I'm not just putting these videos out on YouTube anymore. I'm actually putting out these as podcasts. So if you don't want to stare at my ugly mug, and you just want to hear my lovely voice, you can do that by subscribing to my podcast. Wherever you find your favorite podcasts, my podcast will be there. The next thing I want to talk about are things that limit the possibility of development in the future. And number one, I want to talk about odd-shaped lots. In the city of Vancouver, most of our lots are rectangular shaped. They're usually 33 feet wide by about 120 feet deep. And if you get these pie-shaped wedges of property, these can be really, really difficult to resell down the road. And they can be also really problematic to develop because there's setbacks. There has to be a certain amount of the rear yard that is clear of structure. There has to be a certain amount of the front yard, and there has to be a certain amount of the side yard. So what you can build on these properties becomes really, really problematic. And the resulting homes can have odd layouts, odd floor plans, and have a diminishing appeal. They can also end up being more expensive to build on. And what is easiest to build on are the most basic lots that are rectangular in shape, that are generally flat. You also don't typically want a lot that has a steep slope to it in Vancouver. These are all things you want to generally avoid. And of course, you may not want to be developing on this property. You may be buying a newer house today, but if you hold on to that house for 50 years, or even if it's just 10 years from now and it's an older home, the person who's buying it from you may be looking at it as a potential redevelopment site. And if you're not buying a piece of land that can be redeveloped or that costs more money to be redeveloped, these are all things that can impact your ability to resell and can impact the increase in value that you're going to see over time. So aside from odd-shaped lots, the other thing that I'd be thinking about is whether or not this property has a back lane. And this, again, is something that has changed in recent years, where that back lane has become more important because of the possibility of building a laneway house. And a laneway house is another word for that in other markets is an ADU, an additional dwelling unit. It's basically a home that is built at the back of the house in the area where the garage usually would be. And so we typically require parking of some sort in the mix. These days it needs to be a carport, but there can be a one bedroom or a two bedroom home that's built at the back of the lot. But you're only allowed to build those if you actually have a laneway connected at the back of the home. There's also a number of other requirements, including the width of the lot. That's one of the other big requirements, that it's, if it's less than a 33 foot wide lot, it's more than likely you're not going to be able to build a laneway. But whether it's an odd shaped lot or whether or not it's on a laneway, these are things that make building on the lot or your ability of what you can build on the lot more restrictive. And so I would have an eye on what it might be like to develop that lot in the future, and very specifically stay away from odd shaped lots, and typically stay away from lots that do not have laneways. So the next thing I want you to avoid is buying purely for the speculation of land assembly. A few years ago, there was a massive scramble for developable land all around Metro Vancouver, and specifically in Vancouver, and people made a lot of money. But those days are behind us. And the first reason those days are behind us is because the real estate market has completely changed. We are having a very weak market when it comes to new construction. There is very little appetite for developers to get new land to build on because they're having trouble selling the existing properties that they own. They need to get rid of those properties basically at the bottom of that development cycle, where there isn't a mad scramble for land, there isn't a massive demand for new construction, and we see a lot of new construction just languishing on the market. And so as a result, we also see the land that has the potential to build on languishing on the market because developers don't want it. They aren't willing to pay top dollar for it. And I don't see this changing in the next year, 2 years, maybe even 5 years. So if you are thinking of the investment potential for property, I really advise you against buying very specifically for land assembly. The other thing that has changed in recent years is a lot more land has become available for land assembly. And this is something that was not true just a few years ago, but the provincial government basically stepped in and said to all of the local governments throughout Metro Vancouver, you guys need to build more density, and we're going to tell you exactly where that can happen. There's going to be no more speculation. And basically overnight, we suddenly saw the amount of land that could have really high density developments on them skyrocket. And there was suddenly no need to scramble for that land. Yeah, some of the most desired pockets of that land became more valuable overnight, but a lot of it didn't become significantly more valuable just because you could suddenly build more density, because nobody needed it. Nobody needed to buy it. There was just so much of it available when the government said around the SkyTrain stations, you can build 20 stories plus. And, you know, around those SkyTrain stations, sort of a ring of higher density is now allowed around all SkyTrain stations. But there is no mad scramble for that land. Now, this isn't to say one day that land will be valuable again, but our market has to change. There has to be an appetite for new construction. Investors have to come back into our market, and there has to be more of a run on land. And I think developers have that appetite once again. And part of that equation is also they need cheaper money. They need to get access to funds to purchase that land more easily. Today's market, what you're going to find is that land that has the potential for land assembly is actually not significantly more money than the house a couple blocks away that has zero potential for land assembly. So you could make the argument that perhaps right now, if you are a patient investor and you have a really long-term view, then this is an opportunity for you. I can think of a couple homes not that far away from me that were asking over $3 million not that long ago, that their asking price is about half of that now because they're not trying to sell to a developer. The owner of that home just needs to get out. And so they're selling it basically for what the land is worth as a single family home. But 10, 20 years from now, when the market is in a completely different place, there will be a scramble for that land, and that land will be much more valuable. So yes, if you have an incredibly long-term point of view, perspective on it, sure, you could make out pretty well with that. But in the meantime, you're going to be living in an area that's perhaps not particularly desirable. You're going to be around a lot of houses that are a little bit dilapidated. There's going to be a lot of rentals in those communities. There's a lot of reasons that somebody who wants a nice family home, where that's not really going to make sense for you. So the long and short of it is I would generally advise against focusing on purchasing just for land assembly potential. The next thing I would avoid purchasing in today's market are renovation projects. There was a time where an old house with good bones would be one of the hottest things in the market. Maybe 10, 15 years ago, everybody was scrambling for those houses because all of us were watching HGTV and they were really good at making it look kind of fun, kind of sexy. And there seemed to be a lot of money involved if you could renovate a house like that and bring it back onto the market and resell it. Now, there's a few reasons why that's not really something that's possible in today's market. Number one is just how quickly the cost of everything has gone up. I would say just before COVID, you could renovate a regular house in Vancouver for somewhere in the range of $100,000 to $200,000. And that house would be worth a lot more. It would make that house go from a pretty much original condition house to a pretty modern house that somebody was willing to pay a premium for. In today's market, what I'm finding is the cost of that same renovation, nothing over the top, just a basic renovation of taking an older house and making it a much more modern house, is going to cost you somewhere in the range of $500,000 to $600,000, just sort of to begin with. And so that's a lot of money, and something that a lot of people are starting to realize, that you don't want to get into that mess. You don't want to jump through all those hoops and then also have all of those expenses. The other reason that these types of houses are typically houses that people are avoiding today is because of the speculation tax. And the provincial government, in its attempt to slow our market down, implemented something that they're calling the speculation tax, where you have to pay any profits that you earn on reselling a property within a year of purchasing it, you have to pay up to 20% of those profits to the provincial government. And then between 1 year and 2 years, you pay a reduced amount. It's a sliding scale, so that by the end of the 2 year period, you're not paying any taxes. But for most people that are buying houses as a renovation project, as a flip, they're typically wanting to sell somewhere within, like ideally within a year, but somewhere within a year to 2 years. That's generally the exit plan for people that are purchasing houses to flip. And so this is increasingly making an older house that requires a lot of work a less valuable commodity. It's something that fewer and fewer people are willing to tackle. So it's that incredible cost, that amount of inflation, and it's also that new tax that has been brought in. These are reasons that I would typically avoid purchasing one of those renovation projects. That is, unless you happen to intend on living in that property for a long period of time and you happen to be the person who can actually do the work. So if you are a skilled tradesman, well, this type of home could be a really good opportunity in today's market. I just want to point out that because developable land doesn't really have a market right now, and because houses that need a lot of renovation aren't the most appealing, the houses that are more appealing right now are the turnkey houses. The houses that don't really need any work and that have been really well maintained and ideally updated, or newer houses. All of those types of houses actually have fairly strong demand in today's marketplace. So most of what I just talked about are sort of the updated things that you really need to keep an eye out on and the things that you want to avoid in today's market when you're looking at buying a house. But I also want to talk about some of the ongoing issues in Vancouver's marketplace that have been an issue for a long time and continue to be an issue. And I did a podcast not that long ago specifically on things you want to avoid when buying a house. And a lot of those things are covered in that podcast. You can get into more detail about the things that I'm just going to mention relatively quickly right now. Number one, I just want to mention Poly B plumbing. And that is something that was used at a very specific period of time. It's a type of plumbing that basically just doesn't withstand the test of time. It wears out incredibly quickly and it can become an enormous liability. And many insurance companies don't even insure buildings or structures, houses that have Poly B plumbing. So this could be a really costly mistake if you buy a house with Poly B plumbing. You want to avoid those homes, or understand that you're purchasing a home that has Poly B. The way that you find that out is have an inspection. Your professional inspector is going to let you know what kind of plumbing is installed, and then you can decide whether or not you move forward with the purchase or not, if it makes financial sense. The second thing I want you to be aware of is oil tanks. That is perhaps the biggest local issue in buying houses in Metro Vancouver. The thing is, we used to heat houses with oil, and it was in the 1960s where we converted from oil, heating oil, into natural gas. The thing was that they left these oil tanks a lot of the time. They decommissioned them, but they left them on the property. And they are now an environmental hazard. And there's a requirement that if you're aware that there's an oil tank on the property, you have to pay for its removal. Paying for removal isn't necessarily a big deal. It might cost you $5,000 to $10,000. That's not, in the grand scheme of things, the most expensive thing. But the key component that you need to understand is you are required by law to to clean up any oil that may have been spilled. And now 50, 60 years later, a lot of these oil tanks that are sitting on these properties have rusted out and there was oil in them and they've leaked to other properties. So when you have those oil tanks removed, they test the soil, they see where the oil has gone, and you have to pay for all of the soil to be removed and for all of that soil to be remediated. And that bill can be anywhere from somewhere around $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 if you're lucky. My mother was in this case when she sold her house. Thankfully, it didn't go under the neighbor. It went over to the neighbor's yard, but it didn't go under their foundation. But if it's found to have gone under the foundation, well, you have to pay for that house to be lifted up. You have to pay for the soil to be dug out. And more than likely, you have to pay for that, the reconstruction of the foundation of that house. And I have heard horror stories of the bill for this kind of remediation to be close to $1 million. So you can imagine what kind of liability the potential here is and why you want to avoid this and why you want to be aware of it. So when you're purchasing a house, you definitely want to know whether or not there's an oil tank on the property. Inspections can be done that are specific to oil tanks. You want to avoid houses that have oil tanks and be aware if they exist on the property. The next thing that you want to be aware of is peat bog. And there are houses in Vancouver that are built on peat bog. That is essentially an old swamp. That, as you can imagine, if it's an old swamp, the land isn't exactly most supportive of housing. If you drive around the areas that have peat bog, you'll realize it. It kind of feels like you're in a war zone. The streets are pockmarked. It feels like there's speed bumps all over the place. The sidewalks are upheaved all over the place. And you'll notice if you look closely that the houses often do not stand straight. And that's because the foundation has no solidity to it. It is on a piece of ground that is moving around and it subsides over time. And the result is owning on peat bog is problematic. It's land that is less valuable. It's more expensive to build on. It can cost you anywhere from $50,000 to $500,000 today to build on a site that has peat bog, depending on how bad it is. And so you really want to be aware of whether or not the house you're purchasing sits on one of these historical peat bogs. And how do you find out whether or not it's on a peat bog? Well, the city of Vancouver has a really handy diagram, a map. You can use VanMap, that's the city of Vancouver's mapping software, to sort of determine where the boundaries of these peat bogs are and whether or not the house that you're looking to purchase sits on one of these peat bogs. And so that is really, really important, something you need to understand. And you need to be working with a real estate agent who understands this market and they can help you avoid this along with all these other issues as well. And lastly, the local thing that you really need to be aware of is feng shui. And in the last, you know, really the last 100 years of Vancouver's real estate, a lot of our market is tied to Asia. We have a significant Asian population, a significant Chinese population, and feng shui is a particular set of beliefs about the ideal setting of a space. And so if you aren't paying attention to feng shui, and if you don't at least have a very basic understanding of feng shui, you might be purchasing a house that you can't sell down the road because you're cutting out a significant portion of the market. And so as an example, some of these things would be a tree that is directly in front of the exterior of the house, not letting bad spirits out, or the front door and the back door being directly aligned so that good spirits don't get trapped in the house. They exit directly. They come in through the front and exit out the back. Another big one would be sitting at a T junction or also having a 4 in your address. Now, I personally have a 4 in my address. I have a couple of 4s in my address, but there was a time where a lot of people were changing their street addresses because this was so much of a concern. And not only were they getting rid of 4s, but they were trying to add 8s. Now, this is less of a practice today, but all of these things, whether it is oil tanks or peat bogs or poly-B plumbing or feng shui, these are all things that are very specific to our market that you need to be aware of when purchasing in Vancouver. And you may want to avoid houses that have issues with these. And you definitely need to be working with realtors who understand these issues in our market. Okay, so at the beginning of this podcast, I promised you not just to talk about all the negative things to avoid, but actually to talk about what you should be focused on. And as I said at the beginning of this podcast, right now, sort of in the fall of 2025, we are in a relatively weak market in Vancouver. And specifically a weak market, you know, in different segments, it's weaker than others. Very weak in the luxury market, incredibly weak in the new construction market, but houses are also generally a weaker market. And in this kind of market, what you do not want to do is purchase a house that has any kind of stigma. You don't need to make any kind of compromises when you're purchasing in a relatively weak market, which we would also call a buyer's market. As a buyer, you are in control. You have opportunity to search out a house that better suits your needs. You don't, as I said, need to be making a compromise. So what you should be focused on is purchasing a house where you're not making compromises. So look for a house on a quiet residential street. Look for a house that is in a good community. Look for a house that is in a neighborhood that is desirable, that people identify as a desirable neighborhood that other people also want to be in. And so more and more, I'm seeing those types of neighborhoods, those types of homes are the homes that are actually performing really well right now. As it looks like everything else is falling apart around them, the homes that are in these kind of markets are actually holding up really, really well. They're either at or very close to their all-time peak pricing right now. And so, yeah, it might feel that you're not getting an amazing deal, but honestly, this is the opportunity to purchase those homes. And furthermore, I forgot to mention, the other thing is you want to be buying houses that actually have broad appeal. And that's not just the location of the house. That's also the type of house it is. And typically, who is going to be buying houses in Vancouver? It's typically families, and it's growing families. And those families will typically want three bedrooms on one floor, at least three bedrooms. Four bedrooms would be even better. But if one bedroom is above those other three, that's okay. But you want three bedrooms on one floor. And ideally in the basement, you want some sort of income producing property. You would like a suite or the potential to have a suite. So houses that have really low basements, those aren't terribly ideal because it costs a lot of money to lift those up and get a suite into it. But if it's an 8 foot, 9 foot, 10 foot ceiling in the basement and there's no suite, well, that's okay. That gives you the option to add a suite down the road. But if there is a suite in it and that suite is producing good income today and it has a good tenant, that is a desirable type of property. And also, if you have a laneway, that can also be something that becomes more desirable because there's an increasing amount of income that is being produced by that house that helps a homeowner pay for the ownership of that home, helps to pay down the mortgage. And those are all things that people are looking for in today's market. And if there's something that I've noticed in this market is that over time, these types of homes are the ones that perform best in the weak markets, but they're the fastest to take off when the market turns. And my belief, my advice to my clients and to you would be if you focus on these types of homes where you're not making a compromise and other people are not making a compromise, those are the properties that you're gonna do really well, not just today, but in the future as well. And if you need help, if you need more advice that's very specific to your situation, don't forget that I'm a real estate agent that has helped hundreds of people just like you not only move to Vancouver, not only find the right neighborhood, but also find the right home and not make an enormous mistake. I can help you and your family as well whenever you're ready.
There's three different ways you can reach me. One, you can call or text at 604-831-4837. You could email me at sebastian@albrechtgroup.ca, or you can book a conversation with me directly at calendly.com/Albrecht Group.
And of course, if you're not quite ready, I put up podcasts just like this one every single week. And so no matter what you're interested in, you're going to be able to find that topic covered in my nearly, it's getting on to about 150 videos now. So you're going to be able to find topics that you're interested in if you scour my giant back catalog of videos. And if you can't find what you're looking for, reach out to me and let me know what you're curious about, what you need help with. And I can see if I can give you some advice, but it might also help me cover that topic in a future video.
Thanks for listening all the way through. I really appreciate it, and I hope you'll join me again next week.